Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
It is a final from Philadelphia. The game and the series and the results are not good. Wow. Offense, where you at today? Yeah, you went up against a tough customer, but man, you put up a little bit of a fight there late again, but you come up short to zip the final. Welcome, everybody. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Tim Allen and Evan Heffelfinger as the Brewers fall for the fifth consecutive game. And now a five-game losing streak and a 17-15 mark. Man, you were in the driver's seat at 17-10. And where's the cause? Well, your starting pitching let up a little bit. I will say that. Not today. I mean, Woody was outstanding today. But your starters did let up a little bit. Now, let's keep in mind your starters were Bettinger and Eric Lauer in two of these five losses. So, I mean, you do have that to fall back on a little bit. But where, oh, where is that offense that we were hoping for? And Yelich and Omar Narvaez, the key elements out of this lineup. But noticed a little bit of a trend. I'm going to go back and I'm going to try and find maybe a little bit of a pattern. And I'm not sure why. Boy, Craig Counsell sticks to his guns, doesn't he? He sticks to his scheduled days off no matter what. No matter what's going on with the team, no matter what's going on with a player, if it's a scheduled day off and that's the way they've got it patterned out, he sticks to it. And what I'm referring to here is I'm just thinking about why Avi Garcia is not in this game today. He did pinch hit, had a base hit. He's 7-for-11 in this four-game series. 4-for-4 yesterday, 3 RBIs. For those efforts, he gets the day off today. When you have an offense that is struggling to get out in front of a team. I recall not that long ago, do you remember this? Tyrone Taylor had a 3-for-4 game. I think he might have been a double shy of the cycle, triple shy of the cycle, single, double, homer. Knocked in 3 RBIs. What happened the next day? He got the day off. This past Sunday, Jacob Nottingham, 2 home runs hit. What happened the next day, Monday? He earned his day off. Lorenzo Cain, activated from the IL, has had all the time in the world to get ready to play baseball. Activated, plays a game off, plays a game off today. When you're in a situation where you need a victory to snap a losing streak, both Lorenzo Cain and Avi Garcia ended up with base hits in that ninth inning off the bench. Just puzzling. So I will go back And I'll take a look at some of the off days and how they shook out for a guy that has had a big game. If I'm not mistaken, didn't Travis Shaw maybe get game two off of the season after a walk-off hit or a walk-off win on opening day? I mean, these are just coming to mind. I thought about this during the game today. Where can you press to get a little extra offense? Because that's where this thing is headed south. And it is, offensively, headed in the way wrong direction. Like beating a dead horse here. Not again, despite the offensive struggles, as frustrated as I can get and can be, I would say that I'm still sort of maintaining. Not going to freak out too much yet, because this is getting frustrating. And I would say another 3 weeks of an inept offense. And again, are they put in situations to succeed? Maybe not. That we can debate without a problem. But in today's game, you want to react to today's game, 414-799-1250. And I'll tell you, we're going to figure out today in the next hour plus before Rami jumps back in here. Is the landscape different in Milwaukee these days than it has been? Have they sold you on a highly competitive organization? We'll get to that in just a second here, so stick around for that. But the Brewers, they fall today 2-0, and they get swept in a 4-game set in Philadelphia, and now a 5-game losing streak. Brewers' first inning, they go in order. Ground out, fly out, ground out. They head into the bottom of the first. And Brandon Woodruff, wow. Raise your hand if you were a little bit nervous about counsel and a trainer headed out to talk to Brandon Woodruff. I just shook my head and went, no way is this happening. This cannot be happening. Woody, a 4-pitch walk to lead off that bottom of the first inning, followed up by a 5-pitch walk. What's going on? It was 7 straight balls thrown by Brandon Woodruff in this. After a visit from counsel and the trainer, everything seemed to be okay. He comes back with a strikeout, flyout, and gets out of that frame to end that mess again in the first inning in this series. Brewers, boy, they weren't planting good seeds there in the first inning against Philadelphia. Brewers in order in the second inning. Shaw with a nice shot, but into the shift. Bradley Jr., a strikeout. Urias, a strikeout. Luis Urias, you want to start observing where you can probably see a little light at the end of the tunnel for a young Milwaukee Brewers shortstop. Start taking a notice to his at-bats. His at-bats are becoming big time. They really are. He doesn't necessarily have the big time results. He is putting together great approaches at the plate, but he does strike out in that second inning as it's no score into the bottom of the second inning. Woody definitely settled in by then. Scoreless second inning, strikeout. Gave up a base hit there with 2 outs, but then struck out the next guy. 5 strikeouts through the 2 innings for Woody. Brewers a chance, leadoff double by McKinney in that third inning, but kind of a strange play by Luke Maley. A little humpback liner. Hoskins snared off the turf, and it was a catch. McKinney way off second base and doubled up right there. Woody struck out to end the inning. No score, bottom 3. Woody really settled in. 1-2-3 in that third inning. 2 more punch-outs. 7 strikeouts through the 3 innings into the fourth. Brewers quiet offensively. What else is new? Wong attempted a bunt. Good try. Ground outs to Vogelback and Taylor into the bottom of the fourth. Woodruff, Woody, and Wheeler. Officially a pitcher's duel. Woody, 1-2-3 in the bottom of the fourth inning. 1 more strikeout. 8 on the day. Gets to the mid-game point. Who's going to blink? Woody and Wheeler, 5th inning. Wheeler doing his Woody impersonation. 1-2-3, strikeout in that 5th inning. Foul out by Shaw, strikeout by Jackie Bradley Jr. What else is new? Urias, a fly on the infield. He didn't blink. Bottom of the 5th inning, Woodruff. Can he go toe-to-toe? Scoreless, he did. A couple more strikeouts, 10. That included an 11-pitch battle with Maton. No score in the sixth inning. Wheeler, 1-2-3 in that sixth inning. A pair of punch-outs. He's got 7 to Woody's 10. Woodruff back out in the bottom of the sixth inning. In order, 1-2-3 go the Phillies. Another strikeout. He's got 11 on the day to that point. A question to that part of the game, with a pitch count of 90, was Council going to throw him out there for the seventh inning? Just one hit, two walks, and those 11 strikeouts into the seventh inning, a scoreless tie. 1-2-3 in the seventh inning. Strikeout 8 for Wheeler. Just one hit, no walks for the Brewers offense. It was the McKinney double in that third inning, and through his seven innings, just nothing for Wheeler. Woodruff back out there, bottom of the seventh inning, and they finally get to Woodruff after one out. Alec Baum hits him for a solo shot on a 2-2 fastball, and it's one zip at that point, and it stays that way through seven innings as Woody gets the next man out. That home run was hit with one out. So Woody's final line, 6 2/3 of one-run baseball on just two hits, two walks, and 11 punch-outs. What a performance from Brandon Woodruff. Is he elite yet? Wow. Perdomo comes in, gets the lefty out, Maton. Brewers down 1-1 zip into the eighth inning. 1-2-3 offense in the eighth inning. To the bottom of the eighth, Perdomo coming back out. And Perdomo into some two-out trouble after two outs. Yeah, it was a base hit, then a four-pitch walk. Then Hoskins gets him for an RBI double. Two on, two out, one in. It's two zip at that point, and he gets a strikeout to end the frame. Brewers cooking in the ninth inning. It's been like that the whole series. They've been battling back, seventh, eighth, ninth innings. A lot of traffic in this series. You're looking for the one big hit. And it's crazy. You guys follow other baseball. You see three-run home runs. You see dramatic grand slams. You see bases clearing doubles. You just don't with this team. They get the table set with one out. Lorenzo Cain, pinch hit, base hit. Avi Garcia, pinch hit, base hit. And then it brought up Colton Wong, two on, one out. Wong pops it up, shallow left, and that brings up Vogelbach, and he pops up and fouls out, and there's your final. Two zip as the Brewers lose their fifth consecutive game. Are you concerned with this at all, or are you still in the camp where it's a little bit early on this? Well, let's not go too far. It's just a little bit early. 414-799-1250. I may have a little bit of an issue, as I said, with off days here. And I know they want to schedule these things out, but you're going to tell me that Avi Garcia was scheduled to have Thursday, May 6th off. When was that determined, that it was Thursday, May 6th? Was it determined after his four-hit night last night? When was he scheduled to have his day off? Oh, that's right, after he hit two home runs. Now, keep in mind, these arguments are just based on the lack of offense, based on the need to get on a little bit of a run, based on the need to get a big hit when you need it with traffic. So, Tyrone Taylor, a week and a half or two ago, yeah, goes 3-for-4, knocks in three, hits a home run, but he was scheduled, you're going to tell me he was scheduled for the next day off. Yeah, I'm just sort of throwing my hands up saying, well, you can change your schedule after all. Hell, you made the schedule, Craig Counsell. At 17-15, after losing five consecutive games, tough to stay sane here, but, you know, I'm going to try and do the best job that I can. 414-799-1250, they fall today, just two games over 500. They've fallen out of first place in the last 48 hours. And just want to know, from your perspective, if there's anything they can do offensively to get cooking. Now, my advice, for what it's worth, would be Taylor, Kane, and Garcia. No McKinney, no Jackie Bradley Jr., There's your outfield. That gives you the best chance right now. Tyrone Taylor, Lorenzo Cain, and Avi Garcia. Does that make sense? At least gives you the best chance for offense right now. Vogelbach, Wong, Urias, Shaw, and Nottingham. Love affair with Luke Maley. That may be all defense, but they need offense right now. Jacob Nottingham has a pretty extensive resume here catching some of these guys in the past few years. So you do have recognition going on there as well. That's all you can do right now. What else can you do? Oh, that's right. You can start Pablo Reyes. I forgot about that. Billy McKinney, who's just really trying to find himself. Forgot about that, what he did, a month ago. 799-1250. We'll take our break. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell. Cannot be pleased. I mean, I know it's Zach Wheeler and he's on his game and the whole deal, and that's what we're probably going to hear. That doesn't make me feel any better. Maybe it's maybe slightly better. Wheeler's a tough guy. He's a tough customer. But so is Woody. And you got to get to these guys, scrape across a run or two. I don't know if you caught last night's show, but I was sort of debating the fact that Counsell once in a while these days needs to play for a run. That means a little small ball. We'll get to Craig Counsell coming up. We'll get to Brandon Woodruff coming up. And Travis Shaw made some comments that I don't know if you guys caught this. I want to replay those for you. I really want to know if you agree with this, what Travis Shaw said a week ago Saturday. You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. 2-0, Brewers get shut out, they get swept. It's a 5-game losing streak. We'll be back on 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Let's hear what you thought of today's game on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan, call Tim Allen now at 414-799-1250. Or tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan.
A 2-0 loss, and Wheeler was dealing. So was Brandon Woodruff. And you get a pitcher's duel like this, someone's got to come out on the bottom end of this thing. And that was Woody and the crew as they fall for the fifth consecutive game. And your thoughts at 414-799-1250. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. I don't think there's too many things the team can do in terms of wholesale differences with the offense. If you disagree with that's cool. But in the grand scheme of things, can you help it out a little bit? Yes, I believe that. Like last night's situation, I clearly spelled it out last night, and the more I just brooded over that this morning, the more I'm pretty amazed that the Craig Counsell did not bunt yesterday. And I should be in a pattern of acceptance of Counsell not playing a little small ball. I'm not asking him to change his philosophy. I'm asking him, the given situation with the injuries and the lack of offense, to just do it once in a while if the situation is right. And I don't know how much more right it could have been last night. Let me spell it out to you. Eighth inning, down one. Devin Williams, this is a key point here. Devin Williams, Josh Hader, fresh in the pen. In theory, they could have gone 9 outs. It's eighth inning. If you do get it tied, you have your offense then potentially has the 8th, 9th, and 10th inning of shutout baseball for your offense to score one more run. Go for the home run then. That's fine. But you're one run down. With 6 outs to play, an offense that just has not been getting it done. Leadoff double in that 8th inning. Bottom of your order. Good speed at second base in Avi Garcia. Bottom of your order, which consisted of Billy McKinney, Pablo Reyes, and Luke Maley. If there's ever a time for Counsell to go against his own grain and just shoot for one run, that would have been it last night. I don't know what better situation you would have been in. McKinney, Reyes, and Maley were on their way up. In fact, you could make another argument that those are the types of players that thrive on small ball, that know they're going to have to do those little things to stay on a big league roster. Those guys are better at it than Travis Shaw and some of these other guys, Daniel Vogelbach. But once in a while to play for a run, I don't think it's such a bad idea, guys, given the geography that's been set forth by this offense. 799-1250. Today, what are you going to do? You ran into the buzzsaw. So did they to a degree. Now, I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about in general. When I get your reaction on the game, your reaction on the offense. And that's where we're at here. Now, the starting pitching in the series did let up just a tick. They did. And in this five-game losing streak, keep that in mind. Eric Lauer and Alec Bettinger. So just keep that in mind. It's not their five, you know, top guns, if you will. 414-799-1250. Nate, what's on your mind? You're on the Fan.
What's good, Tim? Like I was telling the producers, I think they're starting to come back down to earth. We're starting to really see the effects of all these injuries that we have right now, especially the Christian Yelich injury. But another thing is, you said it right on the edge, what's up with Craig Counsell giving these days off after having good games? It's like we're punishing the guys for having good games. Avi Garcia goes out last night, goes 4-4. You punish him by putting him on the bench. Like, we need to be juicing all the offense out of all these guys right now. If you're hitting, you're in the lineup. If you're not, you're on the bench. I don't care if it's the best guy on your team or the worst guy on your team. If the worst guy is giving you the best offense, he needs to be in the lineup.
It's funny, Nate, how, you know, guys that are struggling, they get the opportunity to hit their way out. But the guys that are hitting, they get the opportunity for a day off at times.
Yeah, no, and it's you would think at the end of a four-game losing streak, you would want the best best guys in there. And also about the small ball thing, I thought they should have went a small ball. Tuesday when Colton Wong started off the top of the ninth with a double. And you got Luis Urias up there swinging for the fences in a one-run game when you have your bullpen rested because they haven't pitched in 3 days because first of all you get blown out by the Dodgers and then the next couple of days you're not in the position for them to pitch. It's not a save opportunity or nothing like that. So they were well rested. I mean, Sometimes I can say, yeah, Craig, that's a great move. And sometimes I just think you gotta get out the ways that you are used to and go back to a little bit of how the Brewers used to do it. It was never like some of the times the Brewers would just drop down the bun and try to Carlos Gomez just get on base type thing. You know what I mean?
Well, Colton tried it today. Colton Wong did try to bunt for a base hit. Nate, sounds like you're on it. Thanks for the call. As a matter of fact, Craig Counsell, earlier today, pregame, mentions it's becoming increasingly difficult to hit in Major League Baseball this year. It's the same conversation I had last night. 100% identical conversation I had last night on the postgame show. Pitchers are getting better. They are. And it's becoming increasingly difficult, you know, to hit these days. Okay, that being said, he said, you know, people don't understand that a lot of luck goes into a ball in play. You get a ball in play, more luck goes into the game of baseball than people think, is what he said today. But you have to put the ball in play to get the luck. We need to go back. Here's the deal. We need to go back to absolutely in our souls hating the strikeout. That's where we need to go back to. Despise and be disgusted by strikeouts. That's where we need to go back to, and you'll see a better offense. I'll promise you, if you hate the strikeout with all your baseball fiber, your offense will improve. promise you, 100%, it's a guarantee your offense will improve just merely hating the strikeout. Because if you hate something, you'll limit it. There's some smart people down there. They'll limit what they hate. Let's see here. 799-1250. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're next on the fan. Hello there, Jim.
Hi, Kim. I am so frustrated. Is Council trying to lose?
No, I'll promise you he's not.
Garcia has 4 hits last night. He's finally coming out of it.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't play today. No Kane today. Vogelbach is helpless.
Hold on 1 second here, Jim. Evan, I know you have your hands full, but Jim, I'll let you continue in a second here. Just kind of cruise through box scores a little bit. Just do a cursory. I'll do a deeper dive tonight. But just kind of cruise through a few box scores and check out on bigger games for the Brewers offensive individuals if and when they receive days off the following day. Just kind of cursory to see if you observe anything. There's four situations, Jim, that come to mind to me. I believe it was opening day with Shaw. There was a Tyrone Taylor, 3-for-4 the next day he was off. Jacob Nottingham with 2 homers the next day he was off. Avi Garcia, as you just pointed out, Jim, 4 hits last night, 3 knocked in. His batting average is actually acceptable coming into today at .260, and he gets the day off today. So continue, Jim. Sorry about that.
I mean, and you talk about the strikeouts. I'm waiting for Vegas to set over and under for the number of Brewers that strike out each game. I'd bet the over every time. They don't even put the ball in play.
Yeah, you got to get the ball in play. Your offense will improve if you do that.
Molly can't hit. He's helpless. Nottingham will hit a couple home runs, and then they'll strike out. And he struck out, I think, 3 times, 4 times on Monday night. But, I mean, you got to play the guys that are hitting. And Kane's had a whole year off. Why does he need off days?
Agreed, Jim. Thanks for the call. I agree with you. So the philosophy is different now. Let's keep this in mind. Philosophy is different with Christian Yelich. And it probably should be. It's not a landslide difference, but there's a difference between the injury philosophy on Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain. Because that's what their actions are saying to us right now as we speak. Christian Yelich, they said, we want to invest the time in the IL to figure this thing out so he can play every day. 3 times a week, that doesn't cut it. We're not going to get the full potential out of Christian Yelich if he doesn't play, 6 times a week, 6 or 7 times a week. But it's okay for Lorenzo Cain to play 3 times a week. Just pointing out an observation. Just pointing that out. Activated from the IL. Jim, and you're right, he's had quite a bit of time. And he's playing in the first game, sitting the second, playing in the third, sitting in the fourth. So you got a nice little song and dance going here. But doesn't that equate to 3-4 times a week? Isn't he pretty valuable? I don't think as valuable, but pretty damn valuable. 414-799-1250. Let's get in Todd here. Todd, you're on the fan. What's up?
Howdy, Timmy. Boy, I'm going to be real sarcastic here. First question he asks is, why don't we, the big plays, the grand slams and whatever else, we see them every night, but unfortunately it's against our team.
It's watching MLB Network's highlights at night.
It is, but it's against our guys. It's disgusting. It's like, I don't know what.
They're hurt, Todd, and I understand that. I know you understand that too. They're hurt. Just the mere fact that Omar and Yelich are out of this lineup and the dismissal of Keston Hira, those three factors are huge in this impact of offense. But what do you do? What can you possibly do to help this offense out?
I've been thinking about it, and, if we look back at we've been talking for quite a while. It's like, boy, we've complained about this situation for a long time with the hot bats. And I don't want to sound like a broken record next to all the other callers, but it's almost like a neglect. It's been neglected by Council for absolute years. It really has. And when I'll make just a couple points. When they came out for Woody in the first inning, I thought UCL. I thought, oh my God, what else could go wrong? That would be just the icing on the cake.
I was mortified.
I was just I was gonna throw up. I'm like, oh my God. I look at my wife. I'm like, what in the you know what? And he had a hard time locating his pitches. And I was mortified too when they didn't pull him. After the sixth inning, he pitched wonderfully. He had 90-plus pitches. Why go anymore? You know, we got Fire Eisen, Williams, and here. We got the big three out there. And they still picture these guys. They're out there with all the relievers. I went to my wife. I said, why don't you bring them a bucket of chicken? They got nothing else to do. Chicken and pitch. Sorry about that. They haven't pitched in 3-4 days. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you can't get to them. You can't get to the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth with a lead these days.
No, and one other quick point, Timmy, thanks for taking me on, is I think maybe Wong should go down to clean up. Start clean at the first hole and work your way down. And he's been pretty hot bat. Maybe he can knock some guys in. I don't know what else you do.
Yeah, and it's tough. It's challenging, Todd. Thanks for the call. I don't know if there's too much you can do in terms of wholesale, but I definitely believe you can help it out a little bit. I do. I think you can. I think there's more strategic kind of elements, and it might be, you know, splitting hairs a little bit, but there's little things that you can do to help this thing out. 799-1250. Again, the Brewers fall today 2-0 the final. Let me have you digest something before I go to break here. There's going to be better days, first of all. I mean, they're 17-15. We knew the starting pitching would come back down a little bit. We knew that, right? But I thought that the offensive productivity would kind of increase at that same time. So it would kind of level off a little bit and you'd maintain. Hey, if this is the bottom out kind of area, two games above 500, it's kind of where you want to be, guys. So if you look at it that way, that doesn't discount or give you anyone permission to accept a bad offense. The bad offense is bad offense. That's a separate topic. But in terms of the team, if you bottom out two games over 500, okay, when you get a little warmer, well, then what happens? You're going to be 4, 5, 6, 7 games over. So it's okay. But have they bottomed out? They need to turn this thing around. They're headed to Miami for a 3-game set. Okay, speaking of turning things around, it started with Doug Melvin. I truly believe that, this organization. Travis Shaw made some comments on Saturday night after the victory over L.A. And I don't know if you guys necessarily caught it. We'll play the expanded version here, Evan. This is about 45 seconds worth of audio. Listen how he nutshelled this organization, and I want to know if you agree with this. Check this out.
I think it says a lot about our character and the culture that's kind of been established here. I know when I got over here, it was supposed to start a rebuild, or they were still in a rebuild in 17. And from 17 to now, I mean, I think a lot of guys, we learned how to win. There's a lot of guys still here from when I was here in 18 and 19. And guys just learn how to win, and they expect to win. You come into spring training, you're expecting to win the division, compete for the division, and compete for World Series. And we've kind of established that culture over the last 3 years that no matter who's in there, guys are going to be prepared. Guys are going to give their best. And I mean, we're really being tested right here in April, but so far, I mean, we've come through better than I think anybody could expect.
Learning how to win, expecting to win the division, compete for the division, and compete for a World Series. That's the way Travis Shaw sees it for the Milwaukee Brewers organization as a whole. Have they turned the corner to that mark? That's a high mark. That's a high bar. Considering, and you hate to say this, but considering where we came from, considering a 26-year playoff drought, 26 years to this. And I will play the shortened meat or money line here from Travis Shaw. You go 26 years without even making the playoffs, let alone a World Series, and you break that string, then you dip down a little bit, then you come back, then Stearns comes in, and then now this whole thing is turned around to this, according to Travis Shaw.
guys just learn how to win, and they expect to win. You come into spring training, it's you're expecting to win the division, compete for the division, and compete for World Series. And we've kind of established that culture over the last 3 years that no matter who's in there, guys are going to be prepared.
Do you buy that too? Because I think it's plain as day. I don't think they care what the names are. They've established the culture here. I couldn't agree with Travis Shaw more. But again, is that, do I only feel that way because of the ineptitude of this organization in terms of high-end success for so many years? Is it, it's funny, it's relative to us Brewers fans, right? Do we think three consecutive seasons of hitting the postseason is this new culture because it was so bad before? Is that elevated to higher standards just simply because the lowers were so low? If that makes sense. I think it does. 414-799-1250. We will hear from Craig Counsell. Billy McKinney. We're going to get a couple of... I don't know if we'll have time to get to Billy McKinney. He had the one hit for the Brewers through the eight innings. And that was a leadoff double in the third inning. He was doubled off the bat of Luke Maley. While Jacob Nottingham still is looking to hit the baseball out of the park. But all that and a lot more. You can respond on any of the above conversations that we've had. 2-0, the Brewers fall in game four. They get swept in Philadelphia. They've lost now five consecutive games. 17-15 is their mark. A lot to talk about today. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Tim Allen on 1250 AM, The Fan, an Odyssey station.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan.
2-0, the final. Rami is back in a little while. He will get back in, I'm sure, to the Aaron Rodgers conversation. You know, I miss that. I do. The Brewers fall today, and then there's a mess in Green Bay, it appears. I'm not sure. You know, from a distance, I'm not sure what to believe anymore. And we're supposed to believe all these reports, quote, reports, and I don't know. I'm confused by all of that. But I do miss that, discussing that. Maybe there'll be another opportunity for me to get into that with you guys. I will defend Aaron Rodgers all the way here. I will say that. 414-799-1250. Brewers get swept in a four-game set in Philadelphia, and it doesn't get much easier as they're headed down to a pesky little Marlins team down in Miami for a three-game set over the weekend before the off day, and that'll conclude on Sunday, a 17-game run in 17 days. Much-needed day off. They can kind of realign things a little bit, get their pitching back in order. Is Lindblom going to be available to start? Is it going to be Lauer again? Is Brett Anderson going to come off, let alone the offense? And really, that's what I think everyone is focusing on. Is the particular offense that is going on here now through, 5 weeks, 32 games of the championship season here. 799-1250, let's get in. Marshall. Marshall, you're on The Fan. What's happening?
Well, good afternoon, Tim. You know, luckily I had errands to run when things got bad, but I felt kind of just my view on this game and what I saw early. I felt a deep pit in my stomach when it was nothing in the middle of the game. I'm saying, Woody's pitching terrific for us. Give credit to Wheeler, yes, but you can only give credit only so far. Eventually, I'm thinking to myself, we can't score any runs here, and here we go again. So where do I start? I'm with you on hating the strikeout. I mean, my gosh, I'm around your age. We were taught when we played baseball. I played some organized baseball in high school. Was on the behind the scenes on some other baseball, even Babe Ruth League, but before I entered UNC and everything. And we were taught to hate the strikeout. I mean, our managers, the people that trained us, told us, don't strike out. Whatever you do, don't strike out.
Marshall, how did we get to the point where the most unproductive thing you could do in the game of baseball was accepted or is accepted?
I hear you on that one point. It's been way too accepted around baseball. This has been going on easily for 10 years. I mean, I was joking with my brother the other day. You think Butch Weininger hated 253. You think he hated it not only in the zeros, but when he played in the 80s and 90s. He'd be ready to jump off a building right now.
Yep,
at some of the
yep.
stuff. It's not just the Brewers. It's going on around baseball right now. And I do totally agree, and I've been screaming. One thing I've been struggling with Craig on all these years, he's generally done well, and I like him very much. I want him to succeed. But you got to play some small ball. And you think you've seen small ball with the Cardinals and La Russa back in the day. Wait till you get down into South Beach this weekend. They
yeah.
put a small
yep.
ball clinic on us here in Milwaukee. We were lucky to win one game in that series. And we're going to see a lot of it this weekend. And I think we've got to do it, especially given the injuries right now and given that I'm concerned about Yelich just for the whole season. You know, I've been around sports long enough, as have you, that when you get back trouble going, my friend, the biggest nightmares are back trouble and knee trouble. And you cannot, and it's true beyond baseball, your athletic production is going to be severely restricted with back and knee trouble. So I think we have to play a little small ball in situations, as you say, because as even the counselor has proven, you can only rely on the long ball and the big hits so much. You know, God bless you, you have to have the personnel for that, but it can't be your whole staple.
Yeah, I agree. All right, thanks for the call, Mar. So you can't rely on the long ball just because it's a trait in baseball that's hot or in vogue right now. If you don't have the personnel to do that, Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to do his Gorman Thomas routine? I don't think so. Billy McKinney of Reclamation Project, along with Travis Shaw, these guys are going to be this, you know, lean back and launch guys? No. Speaking of Travis Shaw, let's play the shorter version before we get to council. This is pretty, It raised my eyebrows a week ago when Travis said these sorts of things, and it's about time someone said it, because this organization is, despite what's going on now, there's going to be a roller coaster ride in every season. But, you know, this organization is turned around under Stearns, Arnold and company, and Adonasio with the pocketbook, but it is turned around to this, and Travis Shaw finally said it.
Guys just learn how to win, and they expect to win. You come into spring training, you're expecting to win the division, compete for the division, and compete for World Series. And we've kind of established that culture over the last 3 years that no matter who's in there, guys are going to be prepared.
It's not going to change. I don't think it's changing anytime soon. Those words right there should be music to Brewers fans' ears. A symphony to Brewers fans, played by Travis Shaw right there. And it's bearing out, despite all the obstacles that's in front of this organization. And you guys know what those are. Money being of which is one, and the main one. But man, where we've come from to hear things like that and to see the success thus far In this regime under Stearns and Council and company, that's cool. It really is. The future does look bright, despite what's going on now with this offense and all the injuries. The injuries, just clearly it's the year of the injury, and the offense can't get any worse. I keep saying that, and it just doesn't perform. But the injuries won't get worse either. The injuries are only going to heal up. So better times. In the short term, and certainly the future looks bright for this, according to myself and what Travis Shaw is referring to right there. Craig Counsell, after the Brewers get shut out today, just three hits, and they come up with no runs. Wheeler tough today, and I'm sure he's going to give all sorts of love to Zach Wheeler. But how about Woody as well? And he deserved, I keep saying this as well, starting pitching most of the time this year deserved a better fate. But here's Counts after the Brewers loss.
Craig, we've seen a lot of good pitchers duels this season already, but I'm not sure we've seen two guys show up with any better stuff than that. Do you agree?
Both pitchers were great for sure. Woody was got to find it for the first about eight pitches, and then he was brilliant, really. And Wheeler had it kind of going from the start, so it ended up being a great pitcher's duel. And they took one good swing, and that was the difference.
Craig, did it feel like another kind of deja vu day where you put pressure in the ninth and kind of one hit away? Felt like these were did these feel like four similar kinds of endings?
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, with the ninth inning, we didn't do much offensively today. Put together a good ninth inning again, but a hit short. So, I mean, the ninth innings were similar every day. That's for sure. But we got the guy pitched a good game, and so we didn't create any chances really until the ninth inning.
From your perspective, Craig, what made Wheeler so good?
Well, I mean, that's 97 on pitch 117, and that's the whole game. It never lets up. The slider's 92 when it's just sweeping across the zone on our lefties that, even it didn't give us a chance. We didn't put the barrel on the slider at all because I think Billy might have in that last swing in the ninth, and then the sinker, and then he just ran the fastball in on the right-handers really well. That's good pitching. It's high velocity, and it's keeping that velocity the whole game.
Craig, what's the plan tomorrow for pitching-wise?
Brent Suter will start.
Craig, I think that was the first time Woody pitched on normal rest this year. You had all those off days in April that let you do that. He was just so strong, wasn't he? He was throwing us really hard at the end, too, even on that home run pitch, I think was 96 or 7. He didn't look like it.
Yeah. One minute. No, he wasn't slowing down in my eyes at all. Very, very comfortable sending him out there for the seventh. No hesitation. So, he just got off to a little bit of a rocky start with the first, just till he got in sync. But then once he got in sync, it was the same Woody, if not better. I thought he might've been better. His breaking ball is getting, really, really good. He's got a really good feel for it right now. So, that's generating a lot of swing and miss for him and generating the strikeouts, I think. But he handled it well, and he's in a good place.
Anybody else for Craig?
Craig, he was mad at himself about that bum homer, but that couldn't have been easy to go opposite field on 97. Just a good swing, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably just mad at the pitch location. I'm sure he didn't probably put it exactly where he wanted to, but he pitched a great game. He pitched a great game, and then those games like that, they need to be good enough for us to win. We ran into his counterpart doing the same.
Hey, Craig, I know you've got your own things to worry about, but I was wondering if you heard either before or during the game that Albert Pujols was released today, kind of an iconic player in the game, and you don't see stuff like that very often.
Well, yeah, Albert's a Hall of Famer. Great competitor, phenomenal hitter. And so it's, you know, it's anytime if the game is losing a player like that, it's sad, and he should be celebrated.
Let's find out the play of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
You know, it's unfortunate that the play of the game has to go to the other team, and I don't like doing that bomb with the solo shot off Woody with one out in the seventh inning. I don't like doing that, so I won't. Although, if I was this objective broadcaster, non-biased, I would definitely go with that swing of the bat because that turned the tide. But I won't. I'm going to go with Woody's start. That's a great play. And play of the game with ABC Audio Video. Craig Counsell there saying that Brent Suter, it will be a bullpen game. Game one of a three-game set down in Miami against the Marlins. You just got to troop through this. Tough times. You know, it's better off building a cushion, a 17-10 mark, and then having your first bout of big-time adversity, because that's what it is right now. You've lost five consecutive games, and your injured list is just big-time. So I guess to build a little cushion there is a silver lining. But at some point, you got to turn this around. Whether or not people get healthier or not, you're going to have to turn things around. And, hey, maybe it's, bullpen has been a strength for sure, and they are finding themselves. And Brent Suter is a big part of that, comes in a 2.7 ERA, and he will start tomorrow. Also, a little programming note, Rami, Evan, you can help me out here. Cody Decker was supposed to be today. That's pushed to tomorrow.
Yes, he will be on at 4:05 tomorrow with Rami.
Put him up.
You want to be in on the interview, Tim? You can be in
put
on the interview if you want.
Put him up.
You just have to turn on your microphone and you're on the show. That's all you got to do.
Cody Decker.
Does he have beef with Brewers fans? You're not the first to tell me this. I just heard.
Not with fans. I did the research
on
this.
When he calls Milwaukee a trash organization, Rami, we do kind of take it territorially.
Oh, I didn't. I never saw those quotes or heard
those
quotes.
To his credit, I did the research on this because I'm a good producer, mm-hmm. allegedly. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of screwed over by the Brewers a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. They signed
him. By the Brewers or by a clubby?
By the Brewers. The organization itself.
Why? Because they cut him?
Well, they signed him to a minor league deal, and they said that he was going to be playing a lot of catcher, primarily catcher, and then some third base for AAA for Colorado Springs in 2017. And then spring training, the first couple days he did some catching stuff, and then for a couple weeks after that he didn't. And he kept asking, when am I going to get back catching? And no one would give him an answer. He tried calling the catching coordinator, who wouldn't answer his calls. So then
that's really weird.
He gets called into, I don't know if it was the manager or GM's office or someone's office, and he thinks, oh, they're just going to say I'm playing only infield, and they let him go. And they said the reason was because they didn't think his catching was improving enough. And he was like, well, I haven't caught. How could it improve?
Yeah, how am I supposed to get better if you won't let me do it?
And they were like, well, the catching coordinator doesn't think it's improved enough. And he was like, I've called him and he won't return my calls. What am I supposed to do?
That's funny.
So they cut him. And then, yeah, clubby took his bag that was full of his equipment that usually you get to take out with you and threw all of his gear onto his chair and took the bag away from
wow.
him.
Wow. Yeah, so I'd be then, pissed too, Tim. I'd be pretty pissed too.
Well, I don't know what to believe. I mean, that's one side of the story.
Brett Phillips.
I'm sure there's additional details either omitted or just maybe skewed a little bit. Maybe he's just mad at his, zero batting average in Major League Baseball. He wow. got up for 12 ABs. And was 0 for 12. I'll give him credit.
Hey, Cody, if you're listening, this is Tim Allen. This is not the guy you're coming out with tomorrow.
He doesn't want to get in trouble for this. He goes down to one of very very few players that will end his Major League Baseball career with one RBI. So he did get that. I wonder if he got that baseball, put it on his mantle.
Listen, Cody's a really nice guy. I've been in contact with him. He's a great dude.
I just don't like someone getting on the air in Chicago saying the Milwaukee Brewers are, quote, a trash organization.
But on Twitter the other day, he gave the Brewers a lot of props for their winning ways. And
that baby Cody. I love that Cody Decker.
Yeah. Real easy to win Timmy over.
Yes. Really. Rami, stick around. I want to ask you a couple of questions here. So sit tight.
My pleasure.
And we'll just do a little kind of revisit the past Rami and Tim show in just a second here. So stick around. Hyundai of West Allis. There's some cool news regarding Hyundai of West Allis. For sure, due to such high demand, they want to buy your used car. And the cool thing about this, you don't have to buy a new car from them to sell your car to Hyundai of West Allis. You can get good money for your used vehicle. Just bring the car in, Hyundai of West Allis, so they can look it over. It's fair. They'll make you an offer. It's that simple. And by chance, if you're looking to upgrade a little bit, there's some amazing deals on all new and pre-owned vehicles. Palisades, Santa Fe's in stock right now, ready to go, ready to roll off the lot when you stop in. Hey, don't forget to say hi to their newest sales rep, Radio Joe Zenzola. Not only will you get a great deal from him, but you can talk about the mess in Green Bay with Rodgers or the Brew Crew's injury list. Hyundai of West Allis is located just off of Highway 100 in West Allis, only 15 minutes from downtown, the airport, or Waukesha. Get Hyundai Assurance from America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Hyundai of West Allis on Highway 100 or HyundaiWestAllis.com, a part of the International Autos Group, where our ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Tell them I sent you over there, Hyundai of West Allis.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse, presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
Here's a stat for you. 68% of the hosts on The Fan in Milwaukee hate Aaron Rodgers. More on that coming up in just a little while. Just thought I'd throw that fast fact out there. Wow. No, I'm kidding. I'm just making light of that. I'm very cynical with the Aaron Rodgers stuff. And Rami and I have a conversation about that. Looking forward to hearing from Rami in just a second here. Brewers fall 2-0 the final. And they're going to have to turn things around. It's, your stopper's out there. Your stopper because it stops a losing streak. And tough to stop a losing streak when your stopper stops the offense to a minimum on the other side, but you don't score anything. That's a tough route to go. However, Woody, is he elite now? I mean, if he's not, he's about as close as he's going to be without, because he is outstanding. And he's on a roll that, unlike a lot of years past and a lot of pitchers in a Milwaukee Brewers uniform, you almost assume that he's going to go, a run or two at best and go deep into a game every fifth day. And when was the last time we had someone like that? That's pretty impressive. Brandon Woodruff. I get a couple of comments from Woody after this loss.
Brandon, what did you think when you saw Scott coming out there six pitches into the game?
It was nothing, nothing like arm related or nothing like that. It was just, I'd had a blister on my top of my foot from a couple outings ago. And the toe drag, like the plastic they put over the cleats for pitchers, just kind of was like cutting up against my foot, and that was it. So, I immediately told him I was good. It wasn't bothering me, but, I just had to, that was it. There was nothing big. So, but I wasn't expecting him to come out six pitches in. So
Woody, is it hard to take solace in how great you pitched today when it ends like that? I mean, I don't know if you've seen that pitch on replay, but I don't know how he hit that out to the right field.
I do. I served him up. It was not the right pitch. It's tough, man. When you know when Wheeler was he was on his game today, so it was one of those where you got to match him with zeros. And I think the pitch I threw right before the home run told me all I needed to know, and I just didn't listen. Bad pitch and bad execution is kind of what added to that, and that was right into where he likes to hit the ball. So that was all my fault, and it stinks. I mean, because you know in those type games you want to keep putting up zeros, and then because you know it's going to be tough to score off a guy like him who's going so good. So look, we're in the business to win, and that's what I'm all about. So it's just, you know, build off that, keep going, and just try to keep giving the team a chance to win.
Woody, we talked about the San Diego start, you know, first and third and first inning, yeah. And then first inning, you know, I had two walks and you're able to give up nothing there. I mean, the way that you finished the game too, is that a good kind of thing for you to navigate at the start?
I was just barely missing. I just couldn't, you know, get a ball on the plate. And I think once I threw the first one over the plate, it was, you know, then it was, you know, go time. So I just couldn't find the plate the first, you know, few pitches of the game. And then once I did, I was able to kind of settle in and start making my pitches and you know, start doing what, you know, I needed to do. So, but it's just always one of those things, even though it's first and second with no outs, you're one pitch from a double play. So that's the thought in the back of my mind, is just make one good pitch and you're right out of it. So that's kind of how I went about it, but was able to get a couple strikeouts and then get out of the inning. So
what's on tap for the crew? What pitcher starts the next one? It's time for some forward thinking. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
There he is, Brandon Woodruff, after his performance today. 6 2/3 of one run baseball, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 11 strikeouts. An ERA now 1.73. That's stud like. And he's chewing up innings. An ERA like that, high strikeouts, man. You gotta have this guy in the Cy Young conversation, don't you? I think you do, for sure. All right, tomorrow, a bullpen game for the crew. It's Brent Suter on the hill for the Brewers. Game one of a 3-game set against the Marlins. After the last pitch, you make the switch. Right here, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. It is Trevor Rogers, and he's tough. And we found that out last week, that this dude's a good young talent. So the Brewers offense has their hands full again. And maybe, just maybe, you will see if it's a tight game. Craig Counsell, change it up just a little bit and go after a run. Just play for a run once in a while if the situation comes up. We'll see. But bigger picture, this is the offense as a whole has to get going here. And there'll be better days for sure. Rami and Tim reunion after this, so stick around for that. I just want to bounce a thing or two off Rami on this Aaron Rodgers thing. For Evan Heffelfinger, my name is Tim Allen. Despite the outcome, try to smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.